Well, go ahead and open up to 2 John. For once, I believe I know what the message is tonight, and so far he hasn't changed it. That's so rare. Hallelujah. The title of tonight's message is just simply The Doctrine of Christ. The Doctrine of Christ. In some camps today, doctrine has become almost like a... When you say doctrine, they think legalistic. They think legalism, you know. Yet, when I read my New Testament, and when Jesus would teach, we may get to some of these today. The people, it says they were astonished at his doctrine. Jesus has doctrine. They says they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught as one having authority. Not as the scribes and the Pharisees, you know. And part of what he's been having me do is part of my assignment, which is to help keep the church on the foundations. Because there's a movement that's just running rampant. You'd be amazed at some of the emails we've been getting at the office. People from around the world, Australia and Germany and other places, where they're like, oh, thank you. Thank you. We needed ammunition because it's running rampant here. It's taken over. And I'm talking about the radical grace, hyper grace movement. And again, I'm not mad at anybody. I'll say it again. I believe those guys love the Lord. I don't believe they are exactly the ones spoken of in Jude or 2 Peter. I believe that's coming next. But I do believe these fellows have opened the door to that movement because they've taken away all penalty for sin, like it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, you know. You don't even have to repent. When you sin, you don't have to even ask forgiveness. All of them that I've read after, they say you don't really have to pay attention to the teachings of Jesus before the resurrection. Because they'll say that he was teaching law to the Jews, and that the kingdom of God teaching doesn't start until the resurrection. Trouble of it is, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said the law and the prophets were until John. And he's talking about John the Baptist, and we've taught on this several times. And he's specifically talking about the day that he himself was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And even John didn't understand why Jesus wanted to be baptized by him. He says, Jesus, you're the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. I need to be baptized by you. I don't know why. I mean, one thing's for sure, John knew Jesus didn't have any sins to be washed away. Right? John didn't understand it, and I didn't understand it. Thank God for Pastor Dave and teaching us how to turn ourselves over to the teacher. Thousands upon thousands of hours praying in other tongues, assimilating the word, meditating the word. You pray until your lips roll off on the floor and you super glue them back on again, pray some more, you know. Until one day that mystery opened up to me what was really going on there. And I'm going to say it again in case there's some, because you've got to understand this, to understand the lesson tonight. See, that was more than just some little ceremony that was going on there the day that John the Baptist baptized Jesus. That was a visual vow that Jesus was making to the Father. Baptism, when they lay you down in the water, that's a type of the grave. It's like Jesus was declaring, Father, I know why you sent me. I know I am here to die. When John lays me down in this water, I know that's a type of death. Father, I am vowing to you. I'm going to go all the way to the cross. I'm going to do what you call me to do. But Lord, the other half, when John raises me up out of the water, that's a demonstration of my faith, that I believe what you said, what you prophesied in the Old Testament, that you will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will my flesh see corruption. I'm trusting you, Father, to raise me from the dead. God's looking on this, and in the same way that he looked on Abraham way back there when God had told Abraham to plunge that knife into Isaac. And Abraham says, well, God cannot lie. God says, through Isaac will my seed be called. And Isaac hasn't had any children yet. Yet God now is telling me to offer him up on the altar to kill him. But God can't lie. And he worked it out in his mind. You can read about it in Romans 4. He says he received Isaac in a figure. He understood, okay, well, God raises the dead. God's going to have to raise my boy from the dead, but I am going to obey God. See, and God looked on the heart. God does what we can't do. He looked on the heart of Abraham, and he saw it was done. He's going to do it. So God, he took that belief in the heart, and like a gavel come down in heaven, it is done. And he told him, stay your hand, don't hurt the boy. And you know what happened? He provided a ram to be offered instead. See, but Abraham was God's covenant partner. And Abraham had trusted God to raise his son from the dead. So now God in the New Testament, as Abraham's covenant partner, can use that same faith now to raise his son from the dead. No wonder Abraham is called the friend of God. Did you know you're also called the friend of God? That's really what was going on. And so the same way that God looked on Abraham's heart and counted it done, he looked on the heart of Jesus that day when John baptized him. And he said, it is done. It is done. Now, Jesus literally would not go to the cross. And the new birth would not be available until about maybe three and a half more years. But from that day, as far as God's concerned, this is done. This is already done. It's like a gavel came down. And that's why, in God's mind, the whole species of Adam died in Christ that day. Well, if Adam is dead, if the first Adam is dead now, isn't God free to appoint another Adam? Sure he is. Who would be a good candidate? Let's see, who should I appoint? Oh, how about my only begotten son? And that's why God said, that's why the declaration, this is my beloved son. He might as well have said, this is the new Adam. Let him have dominion over the work of my hands. And you see that by the Holy Spirit coming to enforce the dominion of the last man, Adam. And Jesus says, from that day forward, the kingdom of God is preached. Now that's so important because what that means is everything Jesus taught from the day he was baptized all the way through, he was not teaching law to the Jews. He was teaching the gospel of the kingdom to the whole world. That's why later in Matthew 28, we've looked at it several times, right at the end of it, he's given his last words to his followers before he's raised up into heaven. And he says, I want you to go into all the nations, and I want you to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You teach them to do all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Sounds to me like that is the gospel that he wanted preached. Not something different. The same gospel he brought to us. That is the gospel. And it's the only gospel. I'll just tell you, that is the only gospel. Now, just to put you in remembrance, I'm not going to mention names again. If you want the names and the references, you can go back to a teaching I did a few weeks ago called The Apostles' Doctrine. But let me remind you of a few things. Jude warned us in the last days. You don't have to turn there. This is Jude chapter 4. By the way, no, excuse me. If you find Jude chapter 4, throw away your Bible. Jude verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They can't be, what, you know, at first blush you think, well, that means they're saying Jesus is not Lord. That can't be what it is, because they couldn't creep in unawares. What Christian's going to listen to them if they come in and say, well, Jesus is not Lord? Nobody would listen to that, would they? But somehow, Jude is saying they're denying the Lord and they're turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. You know what lasciviousness is? It's sin. All manner of unrestrained flesh. And they're saying the grace of God covers it. Peter, now this is 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. You don't have to go there either. But he was warning, says, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Now here it is again. Even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now here it is again. They're denying the Lord that bought them, but they're doing it privately, secretly. How are they doing that? Well, they're not coming in denying that Jesus is the Lord, but somehow they are denying him, aren't they? Isn't that what Peter says? Now I'm going to read you again two quotes from two of the most popular hyper-grace teachers that are out there. And you tell me, I'm just going to read, this is from their own writings. I'll let you just decide for yourself if they're denying the teachings of the Lord. How do you deny the Lord? If you don't say he isn't Lord, how else would you deny him? You say no. No. What you said does not apply to me. Isn't that how you would deny the Lord? Little kids, go clean your room. No. Doesn't apply to me. I bet it show you it does. Anyway. Anyway, here's one of them. Quote, whether interpreting the Old Testament, now this is a hyper-grace teacher, maybe the godfather of the hyper-grace teachers, if there is such a thing. This guy has I said Shanghai on a previous tape, I apologize. His church is not in Shanghai, it's in Singapore. Singapore. And 30 to 40,000 members. Quote, whether interpreting the Old Testament or the words which Jesus spoke in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, let Jesus and his finished work at the cross be the key to unlocking all the precious gems hidden in God's Word. Doesn't that sound good? This means that we have to read everything in the context of what he came to do and what he accomplished at the cross for us. For example, some things that Jesus said in the four Gospels were spoken before the cross, before he had died for our sins. And some were said after the cross, when he had already won our complete forgiveness and rightly gave us his righteousness. Now here's the strychnine. It is the latter that applies to us, believers under the new covenant today. Now if you have a red letter Bible, you don't have time to do it right now. But if you go look at the few red letters that are spoken after the resurrection, it's not a whole bunch. The vast majority of Jesus' teachings is before the resurrection. And he's saying, they don't apply to you. They just flat don't apply to you. Would that not be one way of denying the Lord? What if the Lord appeared, just walked through the wall there right now, and quoted one of his own teachings to us? I mean, by the way, if he walks through the wall, I'm sitting down. He has the microphone. You hear what I'm saying? He won't need it, but what I'm saying is, you understand what I'm saying? It's his service. What if he walked through the wall and he says, when you stand praying, forgive. For if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. And what if we all said, thank you, Jesus, but that just doesn't apply to me. Thank you. What if he says, Well, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross daily and follow me. Oh, and deny yourself. Follow me. And you'll go, sorry, that's before the resurrection. Your teaching does not apply to me, Jesus. That's exactly what they're teaching. Exactly. Let me give you one more. Putting you in remembrance. Here's another one. This fellow and his father have a church in Hong Kong. And the many books on the subject of hyper grace, they run 30 to 40,000 also. Quote, is the Sermon on the Mount intended for the church? Absolutely not. It is intended for the self-righteous. It is a pre-salvation preach that exposes self-righteous pride and performance and reveals the need for God's righteousness as a gift through faith in order to see the kingdom and become children of God. Unless you really understand grace, don't go near the Beatitudes. They will mess you up. Teaching the Beatitudes to Christians produces legalism and religious pride or condemnation in them. We must rightly divide the Word of God to see what Jesus was saying and trying to achieve here. The Beatitudes are not for the church, but were for unbelieving Israel. The church doesn't need the Sermon on the Mount. If you were to ask Jesus if he intended that sermon to be a standard that the church measures itself against, he would either start rolling around on the floor screaming with laughter or bow his head and weep. End of quote. People are flocking to this around the world. And again, it's real easy to see why. The day you accept that hyper-grace doctrine, your war with your flesh is over. Oh, I don't have to deny myself anymore. I don't have to conform anymore. I don't even have to forgive that ugly neighbor of mine who drove his pickup across my lawn. I don't have to forgive. This is great. This is great. No more mortification. No more fasting. I'm just okay the way I am. Well, listen, I've said it, Dave said it forever. God does love you just like you are. But I'll tell you this, he loves you too much to leave you like you are. I'm not interested in staying the way I are. I already are that way. I need mortification and transformation to the image of Christ. Okay? And you're not going to take away my Lord's teachings from me. I think I first said turn to 2 John, didn't I? Now, if you haven't found 2 John by now, really, just look on with your neighbor, okay? 2 John. Now, it's powerful in the King James. Everyone say out loud with me, because Pastor Dave is right there. Say, I love the King James. I do, too. I really do love the King James. But we are going to read it out of the Amplified also, because it is even more. See, that's what the Amplified Bible is designed to do. The Greek language was way more expressive than our English language. What they heard when they heard those Greek words was more than what we normally hear when we hear it translated into English. So the Amplified Bible, it brings out all the amplification that was in the original Greek. So I want to hear what they heard, you know. So in your King James, it says, 2 John chapter 1, there is a chapter, okay, 2 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 11, 9 through 11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, boy, if you underline, I would underline the doctrine of Christ. How serious is it? If they abide not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. Paul, John, you don't have to be so blunt about it. If I don't have the doctrine of Christ, what? You have not God. What? he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you from Singapore or from Hong Kong or from Australia or Ireland or anywhere, and they bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Is that strong or what? Now, if you think that's strong, listen to it out of the Amplified. Same verses out of the Amplified Bible. Anyone who runs on ahead of God and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, that is, they are not content with what he taught. Excuse me. Not content with what he taught does not have God. But he who continues to live in the doctrine, the teaching of Christ, does have God. He has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, is disloyal to what Jesus Christ taught. Do not receive him. Do not accept him. Do not welcome or admit him into your house, or bid him Godspeed, or give him any encouragement. For he who wishes him success, who encourages him, wishing him Godspeed, is a partaker in his evil doings. Is that good stuff or what? Is that plain or what? I want to read those two parts again. Anyone who does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, who is not content with what he taught, they don't have God. And if they're disloyal to what Jesus Christ taught, if they're disloyal to that, the Sermon on the Mount doesn't apply to you. You don't have to pay any attention to those teachings before the resurrection. They're not loyal to what Jesus Christ taught. Do not receive him. Do not accept him. Do not welcome or admit him into your house. And that means with your television either. Amen. Now, these same fellows, all of them that I've read after, and I've read quite a few, all of them say that Paul taught a different gospel than Jesus Christ. They say that Jesus taught law to the Jews, and that Paul, and they'll just lift him out like he's alone. You know, they'll say, Paul, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Right there, let's clarify something. You don't have to keep your place. I think we're done. Go to Matthew 28 just for a moment. Let's chop that tree down forever and burn it right here. Yes, and don't get me wrong. Paul in one place does say he is an apostle to the Gentiles. But they make it like he's the only apostle to the Gentiles. Like, oh, Jesus was to the Jews, Paul was to the Gentiles. Well, Paul preached to the Jews too, you know. Okay? But they're trying to isolate Paul in order to validate their teachings, that they lift all of these verses out of context. And they'll try and make Paul their champion, never quoting verses by Paul that oppose their teachings, which there's many. And they'll try and say, well, see, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Look at this. This time we're going to back up Matthew 28. Look at verse 16. Let's back up. Let's see who he's talking to. Then the 11. Does it say one? Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spoke unto them. Them who? Them 11. Saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and teach just the Jews. Teach all nations. That is the Gentiles. and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them who? All nations, the Gentiles, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He did not say, just teach what I taught to the Jews, and for God's sake, don't teach what I taught to the Gentiles. He says, no, I want you to go to the Gentiles, all these nations, and I want you to teach them to observe the same things that I said to you. All of them were, if you'll allow me, all of them were apostles to the world. All of them were. Now, some of them, they had different assignments. James becoming the head of the church in Jerusalem. Most of Peter's ministry was in Jerusalem, although he died in Rome. So forth. But I just, they're trying, in their writings, they're trying to make Paul, he's the only one who received this revelation of grace. Like it's some different gospel than what Jesus taught. I'll just tell you right now, Paul never denies the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never find it. He never removes the teachings. In fact, what you'll do, the more you assimilate the New Testament, you're going to find the teachings of Jesus in the writings of Paul. But Paul never even hints that he is teaching some different gospel than that which was delivered by Christ himself. Now, go over to 1 Timothy just for a moment. I want you to see 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. I'm not going to go into the whole one this time. We're going to look at verses 3 through 5. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. Now, first off, who's writing this letter? This is Paul, correct? If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, even to the words of who? Wait a minute, Paul, I thought Paul was teaching a different gospel. No, he's saying, no, if anyone doesn't consent to these wholesome words, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, he is just repeating, he is just continuing the teaching that was first established by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself is the cornerstone of the church. You don't ever remove the cornerstone. You build on the cornerstone, but you don't ever remove that cornerstone. All right? But if anyone is contrary, look, if they don't consent to it and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, well, what about those guys? What would you say about those guys, Paul? They don't consent to the teachings of Jesus Christ. What do you say about them? I say he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. I'm not tough on these guys. Paul is tough on these guys. And I get this one. And destitute of the truth. Destitute of the truth. They won't consent to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are destitute of the truth, according to Paul. Supposing that gain is godliness. Now notice, from such withdraw thyself. Don't listen to them. Just like John over there said, don't let them in your house. Don't help them. Don't even bid them Godspeed. Y'all are not amening nearly as good as I'm preaching right here. Does your Bible say the same thing mine says here? If they will not consent, look back up there again. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, whose words? Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. If they will not consent to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are proud, knowing nothing, destitute of the truth, corrupt minds, and from such, withdraw thyself. Man. Be turning to Romans 16. To the Romans, Paul wrote that those who teach doctrine contrary to the doctrine that was first laid down by Jesus. He says, if they're teaching some contrary doctrine, they're not really servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're serving their own belly. You cannot serve the Lord Jesus Christ and teach different doctrine than what he taught and call yourself his servant. No. So Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. See, this is good ammunition for you guys. I know I'm preaching to the choir in here. I know everybody in here loves Jesus, pays attention to his words. I know that. But listen, this false doctrine has taken over the church. And you better have some ammunition when you are on the front lines. God's trying to rescue these people. Because I'm telling you right now, you can go far enough into that lasciviousness stuff. Just read Romans chapter 1. If you decide you really don't want God, he loves you, he'll go with you, he'll never forsake you. But if you just persist, nobody loses their salvation by slipping on a banana peel. You got to work at it and work at it and make up your mind and finally reject him. And just like he says there in Romans 1, if you just keep on and keep on and keep on, finally, he'll just turn you over to a reprobate mind. That's the judgment. Well, if you want it that bad, you can have it. Now, boy, see, where is that line? Only God knows. Only God can look on the heart. I can't look on the heart. I think that line is purposely blurred. So we don't set ourselves up as judges. But I'll tell you right now, I don't even want to flirt with that line. You want to flirt with that line? I do believe in eternal security. Here's eternal security. Get saved, serve Jesus till you die. You will be eternally secure, I'm telling you. And if every time you miss it or sin or stumble, be quick to repent, he'll forgive you. But don't start running off after the world. Don't start running off after sin. Don't start saying the words of Jesus don't apply to you. Don't do that. There's a line out there. If you want it bad enough, read Romans 1. He'll turn you over if you go far enough to a reprobate mind. Romans 16. Look at verses 17, 18. 17 and 18. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses." But now, there's lots of people that cause divisions and offenses. This is a particular type. "Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned." What doctrine would these first century Christians have learned? They would have learned what the apostles taught them. That says they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine. And what did Jesus tell the apostles to teach? I teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So the doctrine that they had received was the doctrine of Christ. And he says, you mark them. Now, in modern time, you'd say name them. How else are you going to mark them? Name them that are causing strifes and divisions contrary to the doctrine that you first received, which is the doctrine of Christ, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. And I'll tell you right now, these guys are slick. Their words are smooth as butter. When God gave me the assignment of reading their books, I'm reading them, and I was thanking God for every hour of assimilation of the word I had ever done. I was thanking God for every hour I had prayed in tongues, and I felt a little afraid for the sheep. I'll be honest with you, because I know most sheep. I was listening to the time out. I'm going through the born again trail again. I don't know how many times. I should have kept a record of how many times. I'm listening, you know, to the audio again. Yesterday, I was listening to Dave. Volume 1, Message 1 of the Born Again Trail. And I could only listen to 30 minutes of it before I had to go do something else. That first 30 minutes There is more revelation knowledge in the first 30 minutes of that message than I received in all those years of attending a denominational church. The first 30 minutes. Now I'm going to, I finished that one, and now today I got to listen to message two. I'm telling you, it's amazing. If you have not ever heard them once, you don't have anything else to do. You really don't. And if you've only heard them 10 times, you don't have anything else to do. I'm telling you. Anyway. So I was saying, I was reading these books by these men. Notice it says by good words and fair speeches. These guys are good. I'm telling you, they're slick. And they use lots of scripture. And I'm telling you, I was thanking God. I was going, because I could see it, but I'm telling you, it made me a little afraid for Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper that don't really meditate the word and don't really spend time in prayer. I'm thinking, this would be easy. These guys are good. If I didn't know what I know, it'd be pretty easy to go right off into that, see? But it says they're deceiving the hearts of the simple. That's why we're encouraged, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So Paul says emphatically about himself that he is the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means he is teaching the gospel, the same gospel that Jesus taught. Otherwise, he would not be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He just got through saying there, if they're teaching some other doctrine than that which was first delivered, then they're not servants of the Lord. They're not really servants of the Lord. Well, he can't say that about them and then he himself be teaching some different doctrine and call himself a servant of the Lord. And I go to Galatians. I want to show you this. Galatians chapter 1. It's good ammunition for you. Get this tape out and get all the references and be ready. Be a warrior on the front lines and rescue some people. Galatians chapter 1. I want you to look at verses 10 and 12. Please. Paul saying about himself. Now, am I trying to win the favor of men or of God? Do I seek to please men? If I were still seeking popularity with men, I should not be a bond servant of Christ. See what he's saying about himself? I am a servant of Christ. Bond servant means by my own free will choice. Okay? I am a bond servant of Christ. For I want you to know, brethren, that the gospel which was proclaimed and made known by me, plain English, the gospel I preached, is not man's gospel, a human invention. This is the Amplified. According to or patterned after any human standard. For indeed I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it. But it came to me through a direct revelation given by Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So what Paul says about others, he must also say about himself. If others cannot teach a different gospel and be Christ's servant, neither can Paul. So he's saying he is teaching the same gospel taught by Christ. Now, he was not there with the other apostles to hear this gospel from Christ's physical lips, but was taught it by revelation. Okay? All right? Paul said about himself, now you don't have to turn to this one, it's 1 Corinthians 4:1. He said of himself that he had become a steward of the mysteries of God. In that verse there, it says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. You got that phrase, mysteries of God? Turn to Matthew 13:11. Now, this is back when Jesus was still on the earth, and he's teaching the 11. Or actually, at that moment, there was 12. Judas was still there. This is when they heard the gospel from Jesus' physical lips to their physical ears. They heard the gospel that way, directly. Can I say analog? Sound waves. Literally from his lips to their physical ears. And Jesus tells them what's going on. Matthew 13:11, he said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries. See that word mysteries? Mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, and he means the ones outside the inner circle there, it is not given. In another place, he says, I speak to them in parables. But see, the disciples had the privilege of, you know, after the, could we say, in the, I say, at conference, after the services, everybody wants to get into Dave's room. Why? They want to ask him questions. They want to talk to him, see. Well, they wanted to ask Jesus questions. And they had the privilege of doing that. To the crowd, he would speak the parable, the sower sows the seed. Later on, they'll go, we don't know what that means. He'd say, well, the sower sows the word. He would explain it to them. And in that context, he's saying, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But Paul was not there. Paul did not get saved until after Jesus was already resurrected. Paul never had the chance to hear it from Jesus' physical lips to Paul's physical ears. So how did Paul learn the mysteries of God? He said, I've been made a steward of the mysteries. But how did that happen? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Dave already knows where I'm going. 1 Corinthians 14:2. How did he become a steward of the mysteries of God? You know, he didn't even have a New Testament. He wrote the New Testament. Big parts of it. He didn't have it. He didn't have the words of Jesus in red letters or any letters. How did he get it? Remember one, the Holy Spirit, one thing that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, he said he will show you things to come, but he also said he will bring to you all things whatsoever I have spoken. Okay, watch this. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit, in the Spirit, he speaketh what? Mysteries. These are the very mysteries, the very gospel, the very truths that Jesus brought. But now the Holy Spirit has to bring them to Paul, not in a way of remembrance. He brings them to Paul as a first learning. He never heard it before. But he says, no man taught this to me. I got it by revelation. Did it just fall on him one day? No, come on down that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 14:18. He just got through saying, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men to God, not unto men, but unto God. In the Spirit he speaks in mysteries, but notice 1 Corinthians 14:18, but I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. That's how he got the mysteries. The Holy Spirit became his teacher. How many of you think the Holy Spirit taught Paul a different gospel? That's just crazy beyond belief to me that people can believe that. But they do by the 20,000, 30,000, and that's just in their physical church, by the millions around the world. They're believing this stuff. They're believing it. Jesus is the Word. Be turning to John 17. I know it's a lot of verses tonight, but that's good. It's good for you. Good for me too. Go to John 17. Jesus is the Word. Now, if we had time, we could go to John chapter, Big John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And there's a pigtail, no, not one single thing, so forth and so on. We could go there, and the life, you know, the Word was manifested among us, and the great light shone in the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man named John. He was not that light, but he gave witness to the light. We could go on and on and on. But the point of it is, what about the words? See, he is the Word, the pre-incarnate Word that always was. Dave, I was listening to Dave today on that message. He's saying, but before he was manifested, when he was known as the Word, the Logos, he stood rib cage to rib cage, nose to nose. How many remember? Helena was here. Others were here. Nose to nose, eyeball to eyeball, none diminished with the Father and with the Holy Ghost. It's not God the Father and then shorter God the Son and then shorter God the Holy Ghost. No, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all tri-equal, all God. We don't understand that, but that's what he is. There's only one God, but he manifests himself to finite creatures in three parts, and apparently that's the best that can be done, you know. But see, he's also the Word because of John 17:8. Look at this. For I have given unto them, he's talking to the Father. Father, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. See, he's not only the Word because he was the pre-incarnate Word. He is the Word. The words that the Father gave him, he faithfully delivered those words to planet Earth. No wonder that one Roman guy says, no man ever spake like this man. You got that right. Jesus is the Word. He didn't add to it. He didn't take away from it. He didn't water it down. He didn't change it to avoid persecution. He delivered the Word. Not only did he say the words, he demonstrated the Word. See, the prophets, they all said things like, God is a healer. But Jesus will show you God is a healer. They said, God is a miracle worker. Jesus will show you God is a miracle worker. All of those things that were prophesied, Jesus, he said to Philip that time, he says, Philip, have you been so long with me and you don't know yet who I am? Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So he's not only the faithful deliverer of the Word. See, look at it again, John 17:8. For I have given them the words which thou gavest me. Not only did he faithfully bring those words and say those words, but he demonstrated the words. He is the Word with legs. He is the Word manifested, where you can see God in action. He says, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Glory to God. Now, while you're in John, go over to John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit, this is John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. Boy, now, if you underline, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Let me ask you, is that before the resurrection? You're going to discount that, are you? That doesn't apply to you. I hear laughter, and we should laugh. It is so ridiculous. It makes you worry for the sheep, does it not? That people would fall for this? How little of their Bible do they know? And I'm not trying to be unkind. It's just scary. It's scary. Now, I challenge you. I challenge anybody else that wasn't crazy ever to declare, my words are life. I challenge anybody. In all the history of man, never has anyone made that claim except the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If you believe his words, what will happen to you? You're going to go from death to life. You're going to become born again. But you cannot ignore him or his words and have that happen. My words, they are spirit. My words, they are life. Whew. One more. Go to Acts chapter 10. Now, I've quoted verse 38. I quote it all the time because it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. We're going to back up just a little bit. Go to Acts 10:36. See, Jesus' words, those words that, where he says, Father, the words that you gave me, I have given them. That is the gospel. He brought the gospel in word form from the Father's heart to planet Earth. Men have died physically died so that we can have these words in print form in our hands. And people say it doesn't apply to you. The words of Jesus don't apply to the Christian. God have mercy on their soul. And He will. His words are the gospel. The good news of the kingdom is exactly what He was anointed to preach. Remember, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel. That gospel is the very words that the Father gave Him to bring. Look at Acts 10:36. This is Peter speaking. And he says, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea," and notice, "and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached." When did it start? After the baptism. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. There it is right there. And it started not at the resurrection. It started at the baptism of John. The law and the prophets were until John. But since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man must press into it. Hello, pressers. Hello, you that have pressed into it. You that have found the narrow way. Let's look at the narrow way for just a moment. Go to Matthew 7. Now, I'm just going to kind of introduce this, but this is a lot in one night. I know it's not a give and get rich message. It's not a shouting message necessarily, but it's so necessary in this day and hour. People need this. Some of the messages we get from around the world, they're starving for this. People that are trying to rescue friends and relatives. Now, I'm going to do like Dave does us. Come down to Matthew 7. Look at verses 28 and 29. Let's look there, and then we're going to back up. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His" what? "Doctrine." "At His doctrine. For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Now, if you have a red letter Bible, look at all of chapter 7. Keep backing up. All of chapter 6, red letters, red letters, red letters. Matthew chapter 5. All the way back to verse 3, where it says He opened His mouth and taught them, starting in verse 3. Do you know what that is? What do we commonly call that passage? That is the Sermon on the Mount. That is the Sermon on the Mount. That is His doctrine. And that doctrine was preached to the first church. They continued daily in the apostles' doctrine and breaking of bread. What doctrine did the apostles have? "Go ye into all the world and teach this gospel to every creature. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And trust me, that includes the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. Back up to verse 21. Or go forward, I guess, now to verse Matthew 7, 21. I'm just going to introduce this. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, would you call this part of the doctrine of the Lord? Didn't we just back up from when they said they were astonished at His doctrine? See, He's talking. This is authority here. He's going, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord." The scribes don't talk like this. Scribes, they just copy down stuff and they're students. But here's the boss. Here's the Lord. And He said, "I'm telling you plain, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to make it. Not everyone, they're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven." But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Hold your place there. Go to 2 Timothy 2:19. I can't pass this one up. You got to see, this is another place where Paul got his doctrine directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. So, 1 Timothy won't work. 2 Timothy 2:19. Yes. So the way Jesus worded it here, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. That word, by the way, if you look it up, is gnosko in the Greek. Gnosko. It means to know, to really know. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, you see those two things? I never knew you. I never gnoskoed you. I never knew you. And depart from me, you that work iniquity. Look at 2 Timothy 2:19. This is Paul. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. That's gnosko there, if you look it up. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Where do you think Paul got that teaching? He got it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ by revelation of the Holy Ghost. Back over to Matthew 7 just for a moment. That's a scary passage right there. Great theological arguments have been written on all sides. You go to 10 commentaries, you'll get 10 answers about what that means right there. Let's just read a little farther, see. Verse 24. What did that one preacher say when you find the word therefore? You better see what it's there for. So therefore means he's not through talking yet. Because of what I just said. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Now here's a hearer and a doer. Not a hearer only. But if he hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Boy, that's what I want. That's what I want. That's to the man that hears and does. But look at this. But everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I'm pausing for a reason. There's a lot of reasons for doing them not. Sometimes it's because we love our flesh more than we love him. That can change if you'll do this message. That'll change if you do this message. But one reason why people are doing them not, they're being led by false teachers in the body of Christ, telling them that the sayings of Jesus do not apply to them. So they do them not. Well, what's going to happen if they hear and do them not? Well, they'll be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now, I know normally when we teach that, we teach it in this vein, and it's okay to teach it this way. This is how we normally teach this passage. The storms of life come to everybody. I've lived on the planet a while. Y'all can tell, right? Trust me when I say, the storms of life come to everybody. That is true. And it's those people that not only hear the sayings of Jesus, but do the sayings of Jesus, that they're going to come out on the other side like Daniel in the Old Testament. They may have spent the night in the lion's den, but when they come out, they just slept on the lions and used one as a pillow, you know. Or like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, yeah, you may go through the fiery furnace. The storms come to everybody. But right in the middle of the fire, there'll be another man, and he looks like the Son of God. When you come out the other side, you won't even have the smell of smoke on you. That's what he's saying. The storms of life come to everybody. But the one who does my sayings, not just hears them, but does my sayings, he's the one whose house will not fall. That is a good teaching. And especially if we went to Luke 6, it applies. But I'm just telling you, is that what he's talking about? When he said, therefore, was he talking about your physical house? Was he talking about your earthly life? He's talking about your spiritual life. And he's talking about whether you're going to make it in or whether you're not going to make it in. I recommend not being a hearer only. How did James put it? If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he deceives his own heart. You don't even need the devil to deceive you. You're deceiving your own heart. I don't need to forgive. That doesn't apply to me. How did you learn that? This teacher that's got 30,000 people in his church, he's a false teacher. Well, you have like, your church is falling down. Your church has got the same carpet for 20 years. Who are you? I'm a preacher of the truth. I'm telling you right now, I'm preaching Christ, him crucified. I'm preaching his word. All of us are endeavoring to preach the truth. If we wind up preaching it in that empty field, I don't care. We'll still be preaching the truth. Preaching the truth. You better hear and do. You hear me? Hear and do. Don't be a hearer only. You want eternal security? Hear and do. Jesus and John, we just went through recently, John 14, 15, 16, and 17. In there somewhere he says, the person that really loves me, the one that really loves me, not says he loves me, the one that loves me, well, he's the one that keeps my commandments. John says that in his epistles more than once. If you really love him, this is how you know you love him. If you keep his commandments. Well, that's keeping his commandments is a hearer and a doer. We're coming into revival. We're not here to play games. We're not here to patty cake. I mean, the devil is throwing his best shot. He's playing for keeps. We better play for keeps. And we're way too far along to be serving you milkshakes all the time. It's time for some raw steak, you know. Steak tartare. Maybe we may pass it over the flame just a little and then serve it to you, you know. It's time to grow up. Amen. 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 Say it with me. Jesus. His words are spirit. His words are life. There is no gospel except that gospel brought to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as there's life in my body, I will hear his words and I will do his words. In Jesus' name I declare it. And it is done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ. There is only one gospel. Hallelujah.